Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Do you know whether or not a person really got saved? Do you know if they were a false conversion or if they were a genuine conversion? I don't. I don't have any proof text in the Bible that I can go and see, except Jesus saying to me that those who make it to the end will be saved. In other words, the way that we know that there is genuine faith in the life of an individual is if they finish the race.
We can spend hours debating what the Bible says about a number of topics, but the mission we've been given is not to argue someone over to our way of thinking, but to love others the way Christ loves them, and to help bring those who do not know Jesus into a personal relationship with Him. We're in our series, Overjoyed, Not Overwhelmed, in the book of Philippians. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
I find myself saying on a regular basis that the text that we're covering is a great text, and certainly that's the case today. We have a great text in front of us. I was watching a news program last week. It was financial. They were talking about the financial future of the United States the next couple of years. But one of the investors, one of the guys talking about how things are done, said this about stocks. When he said it, I jumped up and I grabbed a pencil and I wrote down the quote because I wanted to use it today. Here's what he said about the stock market, or more specifically, about purchasing a stock in the stock market. He said, it doesn't matter where that stock has been, whether it has been up or whether it has been down, whether it's been successful or a failure. What matters is where the stock is going. That's what you need to figure out. Now, I wrote that down because the text that I'm studying today, Paul says, forgetting the things that lie behind me, I press on towards the goal, the prize that is in Christ Jesus, the upward call that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, as you and I, as you sit in this place, as I stand here and share the word with you, where we've been doesn't matter. Success, lack of success, failure, up, down, roller coaster ride, none of those things matters. What matters is where we are going from here. What matters is how we are living for Christ from this particular point forward. And that's exactly the text that Paul is talking about today. And I find here three words. And if you're taking notes, you can write down these words. I find the first word in this text is attain. Paul says, not that I have already attained, but I need to attain. The second word is the word forgetting. Forgetting the things that lie behind. The third word is the word press. Pressing on towards the goal, towards the prize of the upward call of God. Let's take them one at a time. First of all, attain. Read with me verses 11 and 12. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus had also laid hold of me. He doesn't say, I want to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of for me. He says, I want to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me, because that is salvation. Salvation is Jesus hanging on to you, not just attaining something for you, but hanging on to you. Now, there are a lot of theologies that are out there. There's Calvinism and there's Arminianism. You may be familiar with that. You might not be familiar with it at all. Here at Calvary Chapel, I'm not going to speak for everybody in the room, but I'm going to speak for me and the vast majority of us. At Calvary Chapel, we are neither Arminianist nor are we Calvinist. Now, when people read this verse, they have a tendency to put on their Arminian glasses or their Calvinist glasses. And both sides read this verse like this. That's not what it means. It doesn't matter which one you put on. You put on your Arminianist glasses, it's not what it means. You put on your Calvinist glasses, it's not what it means. But anytime that you say, that's what it says, but it's not what it means, you know that you are in trouble. Listen, you cannot put a theology on the same level as the Bible. You can't say, I'm a Calvinist and all the things that Calvinists believe are just like the Bible. You can't say, I'm an Arminianist and all the things that Arminians believe are just like the Bible. And I realize that Calvinists are going to claim that they read the Bible. Arminianists are going to claim that they read the Bible. On one side, you have John Calvin, who didn't teach all 5 points of Calvinism, by the way. He wouldn't even be a Calvinist today completely by the 5 points that are there. Nevertheless, you have John Calvin, who taught the heart of Calvinism. On the other side, you got a guy by the name of John Wesley. You know who John Wesley was? He's the founder of the Methodist Church. He was a great revival. God used him in an incredible way. And he is more of an Arminianist. He wouldn't be a complete Arminianist. He would be what they would call a partial Arminianist. John Calvin would be a partial Calvinist. He wouldn't be a full Calvinist. Nevertheless, you've got these two guys from history that were awesome. John Calvin and Charles Wesley, and how God used them in incredible ways. And it's interesting to me that when I talk to an Arminianist, they tell me that I'm a Calvinist. And when I talk to a Calvinist, they tell me that I'm an Arminianist, which means I'm probably in the right place because I just don't believe something because a certain system says it. I'll tell you why I'm not a Calvinist and I'm not an Arminianist. We'll start there and then we're going to look at the text. First of all, let's start with Arminianism. I am not an Arminianist because Arminianism teaches that you can earn your salvation. All right? I could tell by your response you don't agree with that. Is there any work you can do to pay for your salvation? Is there any merit you can give to pay for your salvation? The Bible even says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. To me, this is a no-brainer. The Bible doesn't teach it. The Bible teaches the opposite. You can't buy a castle on a ditch digger's salary. Spiritually, we are ditch diggers, but we have been given a castle. We can't purchase that castle. If you want to buy a castle and you are a ditch digger, you're going to have to get a different job, all right? You're going to have to find a job that pays you more money so you can go out and you can afford the castle. We know that. We can't save ourselves. Come on. We are lost. We can't even figure out our own lives. Apart from him, we're completely and totally lost. So this idea in Arminianism that we can actually work for our own salvation is not biblical. Now, another thing that Arminianism teaches is that every time that you sin, you lose your salvation. So if you drop a hammer on your foot and you say a word that would fit really well on the deadliest catch, then at that point, you're not saved. You got to repent. You're like, oh, I need to get saved again. Drop that hammer. I said a cuss word. Now, we believe when we drop a hammer on our toe and say that cuss word, that we got to repent. We believe that we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I dropped a hammer on my toe and I cussed. I'm sorry. Right? We also believe that God will forgive us because he's faithful and just if we confess our sins to forgive us our sins. But we do not believe that we got to get born again after we sin, right? Now, I think I can say that pretty confidently here again by your responses. That's what Arminianism teaches. That's why I am not an Arminianist, okay? Those two main reasons. I'm not an Arminianist because I disagree with both of those positions of Arminianism. By the way, as I said, John Wesley didn't believe both of those either, even though he was considered to be an Arminianist. Now, on the other end, you have Calvinism. There are two things, there are more that I disagree with Calvinism, but two main things that I disagree with Calvinism. Number one is limited atonement. They believe, and I'm not talking about hyper-Calvinism now, I'm talking about Calvinism. Calvinism teaches that Jesus died on the cross for only the elect. And that if you have not been chosen by God before the foundations of the world, that you cannot be saved. They believe that there are some of you that are here that you can't be saved. Even if you want to, you can't be. Limited atonement. Jesus died for some. However, my Bible says that Jesus died once for all. My Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's the scope of this text? The world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Now, the Calvinist reads that verse and says, that's not really what it says. What it says is that the person that would believe, the whosoever, is the elect. And so you're not going to be the whosoever unless you're the elect. The all in Christ died for all is all of the elect. It's not all of the people around the world. Now listen, if God wanted to communicate that, if God wanted to clearly teach to us that some of you guys can't be saved, so give it up. I mean, you just can't be saved. You just can't do it. God could have done that. He could have said Christ died for the elect only. He could have said, if you believe and you are the elect, you'll be saved. But he didn't say that. He said, if you believe, you will be saved. The crazy thing is that Calvinists talk about security in salvation, and they don't have any. Because how do you know you're saved? What if you're not one of the elect? What if you are one of the false conversions that Calvinists talk about? A person that gave their life to Christ, but couldn't because they weren't chosen. And they looked like a Christian. They acted like a Christian. They smelled like a Christian. They walked like a Christian, not an Egyptian, but like a Christian. But then they walked away from God, and now Calvinist says, well, they had a false conversion. How do you know you don't? And then they have something called irresistible grace. This is another point of Calvinism. Irresistible grace means that God chooses some before the foundations of the world, not based on anything he knows, by the way. He has foreknowledge, some Calvinists will say. Some will say he doesn't. But he has foreknowledge, but he just doesn't use it. Like God just goes, I don't want to use my foreknowledge at all. I'm just going to choose these people, you know, hell, heaven, hell, heaven, hell, heaven, hell, heaven, not based upon foreknowledge at all. In spite of the fact that the Bible says, whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Whom he foreknew, meaning he knew that you would make a commitment to Christ, and therefore before the foundations of the world, he predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. They say irresistible grace. You're chosen, you can't be lost. Oh, you may be a devil worshiper now, but you can't be lost. You're eventually going to come to Christ because you can't be lost. Well, I can tell from the response of most of you here, I can tell by the response of some of you that you agree with that. I can tell from the response of most of you here that you don't agree with that. By the way, I've had several people get up and walk out of services today, which is interesting to me. Now, I think we get so sold out on a system of belief that we forget to look at the scripture objectively and say, what does it really say? Now, lately, there's been an argument here at the church among some about once saved, always saved. Can you lose your salvation? Which is really a misdirection. It's a misdirection because Calvinists don't really worry about once saved, always saved. And let me say this. You might run into somebody who is at a church that will tell you, listen, I know you're not living like a Christian now. You're going out and getting drunk, you're carousing, you're chasing women. I know you're not living like a Christian, but when you were a kid, you raised your hand and you invited Jesus into your life, so you're okay. Somebody may have told you that. But I want to make the statement, and I'll back this up. There are no Calvinist leaders that will make that statement. Not John Piper, who's Reformed, not John MacArthur, who's a heavy Calvinist, okay? They believe that if you make a commitment, you raise your hand, you pray a prayer, you start going to church, you start living for Jesus, and then you fall away, that you were never saved. They believe that it is proof that you were never saved, proof of a false conversion because you fell away. None of these leaders will say that guy is still saved. Understand that clearly. And now an Arminianist will say, well, he gave his life to the Lord, committed his life to Christ. He began to follow Jesus, and then he fell away and he's not saved. In other words, that's why I said this argument of once saved, always saved is a misdirection. But whether you're a Calvinist or whether you're an Arminianist, you believe that guy's not saved. So here we are. You're going to fight about it. Calvinist, you're Arminianist. Calvinist, Arminianist, Calvinist, Arminianist. You believe people can lose their salvation, how silly. You believe that people can't lose their salvation, how silly. You think devil worshipers are going to be in heaven. If they made a commitment to Christ, they're going to be in heaven. They got all these arguments going on. And here's this guy who's on his way to hell. And there's nobody that says that he's not. So I don't want to argue with you. And you say to me, well, what do you believe? Once saved, always saved. I don't know. You know why I don't know? I can't see your heart. How do I know if that guy was ever really saved or not? Only God sees the heart. I just know the guy's not saved. You say to me, well, that's kind of a cop-out. It's kind of like you're trying to find middle ground. It's not really a cop-out. I'm just telling you, I can't see people's hearts. Can you? Do you know whether or not a person really got saved? Do you know if they were a false conversion or if they were a genuine conversion? I don't. I don't have any proof text in the Bible that I can go and see, except Jesus saying to me that those who make it to the end will be saved. In other words, the way that we know that there is genuine faith in the life of an individual is if they finish the race. That's the way we know. What happened in the work of salvation? Was the guy saved or not saved? Who knows? I don't know. But I know he's got to finish the race. Meaning that if you're here today, and I'll guarantee you there are some here today that are like this. You've raised your hand, you prayed that prayer, somebody gave you that false security in the past, and you're out there drinking and cussing and carousing and trying to pick up chicks. I don't know if that's what they call it still today, by the way, but in my day it was picking up chicks. And you're out there and you're living that lifestyle, and you think you're okay. I raised my hand, and you think you're all right. And I'm going to tell you now, listen carefully to what I'm saying, you have no confidence that you're saved. I'm not telling you you're not saved, but the proof is in the fruit. And if your fruit is ungodly, if you're living an ungodly lifestyle, then what makes you think you've been saved? Go to the nursery, you buy a lemon tree, a little bitty lemon tree. Take it home, you plant it, you water it, you care for it for a couple of years, and it produces finally fruit. So you go out and you pick it and you put it in a bowl and you set it in the middle of your table, you have a dinner party that night and some friends come over and you go, hey, grab a couple of those lemons and take them with you. One of the persons walks over and goes, hate to tell you this, but it's an orange, okay? That's not a lemon. And you go, no. I know it looks like an orange, smells like an orange, but I have a receipt. And that receipt says it's a lemon tree. I'll dig it out if you want me to. When I bought that tree, it said it was a lemon tree. Well, I think that maybe the nursery was mistaken. No, I have a receipt. No, if it produces oranges, it is an orange tree. If you produce Christian fruit, you are a Christian. If you produce ungodly fruit, how can ungodly fruit come from a godly tree? How can godly fruit come from an ungodly tree? If you are godly, you will produce godly fruit. You'll continue on. You'll run the race to the end. You'll make it to the end. That is why I say, if you are not living for Jesus today, you have no confidence of salvation. Now, people get angry at me when I say that. They say, you're stealing people's security. I don't think I am. I understand that there might be some who are really saved who may get a little stressed out and who may say, well, what if I'm not really saved? I yelled at my kids last night. What if I'm not really saved? I understand that that might produce some of that, but we can clarify that. I would rather have you maybe have a little stress along those lines than to have somebody here who's living a completely ungodly lifestyle thinking that they're going to heaven and when they die find themselves in hell. And say, well, I had told by that guy that as long as I raised my hand, I wasn't going to be here. These worms won't die. This fire won't stop. You find yourself eternally separated from God because you trust what someone says when it's not in the Bible. Maybe in the chapter, third opinions, but it's nowhere else. So the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the Calvinist goes, it's not what it means. The Bible says, those who endure to the end are saved. And the Calvinist goes, it's not what that means. No, it sounds like that's what it means, but it's not what it means. So the Bible says that God desires that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Reformed goes, no, it's not all. The all there is the elect. It's not what it says. And you try to go, I love when they go back to the Greek. Now, well, in the Greek here, the word all doesn't really mean all. You go back to the Greek and you look, the word all means all. You can claim Greek knowledge all you want, but you can't change the meaning of a Greek word to suit your theology. It doesn't work. So what is Paul saying? If he's not saying that he's got to go out and work for his salvation, what is he saying? If by any means, verse 11, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. He's saying, I have got to now finish the race. I have got to now live the life he has already attained for me. It means that you've got to go out and now live it. You've got to surrender to Christ. You've got to live for him. You've got to abide with Jesus. See, people will say, can I drink and still be saved? Can I cuss and still be saved? Can I fornicate and still be saved? You wouldn't believe the questions I've been asked. Can I be in an affair and still be saved? It's true love. You need to know that. It's true love. It's affair. It's adulterous, but it's true love. Look, those are the wrong questions. I've never had anybody say, if I stay really close to Jesus, am I still saved? See, there's controversy as to whether or not you can be involved in any of those other stuff, still be saved. Why not get rid of the controversy and just get close to Jesus? Stay close to him. What was Paul saying? He was saying, I got to live it. I've got to go out and attain that which I'm supposed to live. John put it this way, same principle. John said, if you say you love God, but you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. That's all he's saying here. I've got to go out and attain that which Jesus attained me. I got to go out and live it. I got to be obedient to him. If today you're here and you say, listen, I love God, but I'm involved in this, you know, affair and I'm not going to change it. I'm going to keep going because I love God. Sat down with a gal a few years ago who was in an affair. She was in an affair with somebody else that was here in the church. And I sat down with her and she said, before we started talking, she goes, I want to get something really straight. I said, okay. She goes, I'm in love with Jesus. I just want you to know that. She went on, she said, I'm a really spiritual person. And my response was this, in all due respect, I don't think you love Jesus. Because if you loved Jesus, you wouldn't be in this affair. The fruit, well, again, the proof is in the fruit. You can say what you want to say, but your lifestyle is what really matters. So Paul says, I reach out to attain. Does it mean Paul's perfect? No. He said in verse 12, not that I'm already perfect, not that I've obtained. Verse 13, not that I've apprehended. But what does a Christian do when a Christian fails? What does a Christian do when a Christian, driving home from church today, your kids start screaming and fighting in the back seat, you've made a commitment that you're never going to scream out of control at them again. Halfway home, you're like a banshee. Now you're home and you go, God, I'm sorry. I said I would never scream at them like that again. They're going to be traumatized for life. They're going to need therapy their entire life if I keep this up. God, forgive me. That's what Christians do. It's not that Christians don't ever sin or make a mistake or fall. It's not that he's for being perfect, right? It's not that he's obtained. It's not that he's apprehended. It's that he's living and confessing his sins and living for Christ. Okay? Now, there's another word here, and that word is forget. And that's found in verse 13. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward towards those things that are ahead. Forgetting those things which lie behind. Now, in context, he's saying those achievements before Christ. That's the context, right? Those of you that have been following Philippians with us, you remember that Paul had made that list. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee, circumcised on the eighth day. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. That was his list of achievements apart from Jesus. He says, I counted those things to be rubbish. I count those things to be garbage. Count those things to be dung. Now he says, I forget those things. That's the context. So we forget those achievements that we made before Jesus because ultimately they don't matter. You may have had great achievements before. You may have done great things. You may have been very successful in the profession that you have chosen, but they don't mean anything when it comes to eternity. So Paul says, because they don't mean anything, I forget them.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.